Hello, and welcome back to Five Things. I'm your host, Angie B, and I'm thrilled that you're here. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, welcome. This podcast is all about conversations to inspire and enlighten. The topic this week centers around pursuing your dreams in the face of adversity. My guest is Beverly Harris Alvarez. She's filmmaker, producer, and director, and I'm very lucky to be able to call her a friend. For more than 30 years, Beverly worked in various industries. She was a general accountant, licensed insurance adjuster, marketing manager, logistics manager, and purchasing manager. In 2007, she went back to school to pursue her dreams of filmmaking and encountered several obstacles that really challenged her belief in continuing. So I'm so grateful that Beverly has given me the opportunity to ask some questions a little bit, to learn a little bit more about her background and her career, and hopefully to inspire all of you to pursue your dreams. Hey, Bev, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. It means so much to me that you're here. So thank you for doing this.
You're so welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
So I just read, I just gave the listeners a little bit of background about who you are. And I wanted to just dig a little bit deeper because you're such a fascinating person. And I think that you and your journey can inspire others that are looking to tap into that creative bone or just find a new way of approaching projects in their life. And so I just think that there's going to be a lot of value here for listeners. And again, I'm so thrilled. So I want to kick off by first asking, what drew you to the film industry and how did you launch your career? How did things get going for you?
Wow. If I go back and think originally, most people go into film industry right out of college. But I can remember back always wanting to write and to do different things that I saw was done on television. But back in the 70s, 80s, there was no one that looked like me. So I actually was going into the medical field. And 2017, I actually had a conversation with God. And I received a message that I needed to go back to school. So while taking my daughter on her college tour in December 2006, I signed up for film classes for 2017 semester. And it's been a roller coaster ride since then. The film industry is an outlet that allows me to use what I consider both sides of my brain. I love the technical aspect of using new type of digital machines and editing and all facets and communicating, starting the story from the beginning to the end. When I went to International University of Miami in school, I actually learned all aspect of production. And I actually volunteer around Miami in all types of production just to get my foot in the water. One of the best experiences I had in starting my film career was working with Lou Ferrigno in a live production in Miami. I originally went there as a PA, as assistant, and since I was the only one that brought equipment with me, and it was a production out of LA, they actually moved me up to assistant director, and I got to help direct a live show. And that was all basically because I persevered, and I always carried my equipment with me. A couple of my friends used to make jokes about what was in the back of my car. It was always a camera. And that's how I started my career, and I always took the chance. Trying something I'm not afraid of. I will go out there and do what I can, meet, talk to anyone I can, doesn't matter. So that's how I was drew into the film industry.
I got so much value out of that because first and foremost, you didn't initially tell yourself, I'm going to be in the film industry in several many years down the line because you didn't see that representation before. And then you had this conversation with God and you said, you're taking action. You took action and it opened so many doors for you. And I think that's important because a lot of what this podcast is about tapping into your creativity, discovering what it is that you want to do, brainstorming on a new direction you want to take or how to make your life more fulfilled. But the critical part of that is action. You have to push forward. And I love that you went back to school, which is around the time that you and I met, I believe, and started, you know, and embarked down this journey. So I think that's extremely valuable because it is about taking action and taking that leap of faith and pursuing that dream the way that you did. And I think that's really beautiful. But no, go ahead.
Yeah, but and most people, you know, when they start off, everybody thinks that your career starts when you're 18. That is not correct. Your career can start whenever you want to start it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be 18. I went in the military at the age of 17 because my mother couldn't afford to send two girls, my sister and I, to college. And I originally thought I wanted to be a doctor. I mean, I took every medical course, looked at every medical show on television, and because I didn't know there was another job. But while I was in the military, I was still creative. I was still the one that's putting on showcases, putting on shows while I was in the military. I'm working with the DJs because I love entertaining people. I love telling stories. And that was an outlet for me. So, you know, when I used to see Whoopi Goldberg on television and I had the braids like Whoopi had the dreads and people used to, you know, tell me, call me Whoopi and they thought they were insulting me. That was a pride. I was like, yes, I am Whoopi. I'm a badass.
So, Whoopi is a badass. Hello.
She's a badass.
That's, she's a trailblazer. You know,
she really is. And she inspired me. She is one of my inspirations. I even went to high school. I think my first year was his last year with Spike Lee in Brooklyn. So, you know, you don't know who's in your mix and in your environment when you're young. And the limitations that you put on yourself is the only determinant you have to overcome. So as I go back and think about how I went through my life up until my late 30s is when I went back to school. I realized I had to go through them. Each of those jobs I had made me who I am today for the film industry. So I know all the aspects of different parts of the film industry for working in multiple industries.
That's the truth right there. And that is what's, you know, what's fascinating about your story. And anyone that says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take this action. I'm going to take those steps. I'm going to move forward with this, no matter what happened previously and because of what happened previously, I would say. But I would imagine that this journey is not without its challenges. So what have been some of the challenges you faced and how did you overcome them or are overcoming them?
Well, the first challenge I went through while in school with ageism. Since I did start late and I was roughly 40 years old, I noticed, not from the people in school, but the industry in whole. They all, you know, when as a producer, we know the biggest market is the 17 to 35 year olds. That's who we, that's what all the movies are budgeted towards, marketed towards, is because those people have disposable income and they will come see a movie over and over again. But they forget about the older class of people, who myself, we are big, you know, users of different television shows, movies also. And they didn't think me being the age of 40 make me relevant in the entertainment game. I was actually given a project from our professor to help fill seats for our class, we had some people coming in to actually do a talk for us. John Singleton, he was coming in to do a talk for us at University of Miami. And we needed to fill the seat. So with me being the president of the film club, told me that we need to at least get 40 kids to come on a Saturday. Now, we know kids don't want to get up on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. But since I was well known in my school, I filled it with standing room only. So when I went to go get my ticket, the lady told me it's only for the youth. And I said, for the youth? Wow. She said, yes. She said, it's only for young filmmakers. I said, but I filled your seats. And she said, but you're about 30 or 40. I was like, I'm 40. And she said, it's only for the youth. That's coming from another woman and a woman of color. And I never forgot that. Never forgot that. Because that was like a smack in my face. Because why didn't she think that I was an emerging student, emerging filmmaker? So that is,
I'm sorry you had to go through that. And I'm troubled by that story. I because why does emerging have to be attached to age? Emerging can happen at any stage in life. You can emerge into anything new, and it doesn't matter mm-hmm. how old you are. And I know that that conversation is probably an entire podcast in and of itself, but how did you deal with that, this ageism staring you in the face, and not get discouraged, to continue going?
Well, guess what? I had Angie in my life, EIL, and we didn't let anything prevent us from doing what we want, going where we want. We went out to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Interview stars on a red carpet for the Oscars. We met a
great time.
Great people. I mean, it was amazing. And I'm the type of person, I don't take no as the final answer. I ignore you. Like in the military, when they yell at you, I just roll my eyes and keep going. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So I was angry. I was upset. And the kids told me when they were talking to John Singleton, he had asked them who made them, who allowed them to come and stood up this classroom. And they told him that it was me and that I wasn't invited. And they all relayed a message back from John Singleton back to me, told me to keep my head up and keep persevering. And that's what I've been doing.
Lessons for life. These are the fundamental life lessons that transcend all things. It's they're relevant in every industry and every aspect of life. And I'm certainly happy that you persevered and you kept going, because you have so much talent. And I know that there are so many stories inside of you and so many stories that you are working on right now with other people that are fascinating. What are some of the types of stories that you tend to tell the most, or that you gravitate to the most, and why?
Documentaries. Believe it or not, documentaries. My motto is that I must learn something new every day, and a good documentary to me is the most enjoyable way, and it allows me to help or learn about different social causes and how they have an effect on other people in their lives. So I think that's what I actually look at more, is documentary styles, not reality documentaries. So I don't know, everyone's on to get that mixed up, documentaries. It's just, I think I have more written documentaries ready to be filmed than I have regular film or regular nonfiction or regular television shows ready to go to produce. I'm very politically involved, so the aspect of always wondering how the African community is being affected with what's going on today. It's something I always want to tell in documentary, how Black women are suffering from loneliness. And it's a documentary I'm writing about. It's called Why Not? Why Do We Limit Ourselves? It's just trying to address issues that no one else is paying attention to and that should be paying attention to. So,
and I can't wait to hear more about that, because again, it's there are so many important topics there, and it's a topic that I'm passionate about as well, especially when it comes to seeking out opportunities, jumping into opportunities, and not holding yourself back from opportunities that present themselves. And I see that happen a lot more than I'd like to see it happening. And so I'm excited that you're working on that, because why not? Right?
Exactly. Why not?
Why not? That's a great answer to when people ask you things that you're just like, why are you asking me that question? And I think the answer of why not is great.
Somebody reverse that question on them.
Right.
Flip it back.
Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me, why are you going to Sierra Leone? And I said, why not? You know? because I haven't been, because do you really need any other reason? I think why not is a powerful answer to that question.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you about advice that you would give to people finding their creative outlet. And I think that, you know, I feel that we've touched on so many of those powerful lessons in life, of life and of pursuing your dreams. And so I wanted to instead ask you to share a little bit more about a project that you're working on right now that you want to... that you're excited to see come to fruition, or a dream project that you'd like to work on.
Okay. My dream project is actually about one of the American greatest poets. It's Edgar Allan Poe. Mm. I've been working on this project since 2014. And it's been presented to Netflix. It was on the desk of Steven Spielberg. I have had that movie pushed everywhere. That's my passion. That telling his stories or retelling his story to showcase his work to the kids of today, because I feel that we lost in the education system the ability to understand and love great writing. And he's one of the greatest writers. He is my favorite. And it's horror. And I don't like scary films, but I love Edgar Allan Poe. So, and I reimagine him being African-American priest today in my script. So that's my passion. And that's the story that I really want to tell. That's my first one to have it done.
And I know it's going to happen.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. Absolutely.
I know that's. I know that that's going to happen. No doubt there. And then, obviously, you know, I guess it's like the elephant in the room is this coronavirus, and it's flipped the world upside down in many ways. Has this had an impact on you or your craft? Did you find a story in all of this that you might want to tell, or a documentary, or has there been a personal effect on you for this virus?
Well, it's the coronavirus has had a personal effect, because my doctor doesn't allow me to go out in public, because I'm one of those high risk individuals that can, if you catch it, I may not survive it. But it has stopped all production here in Georgia. Mm. And even though everyone's looking to get back to work, I sat here the other day and I was writing up a production plan, utilizing and trying to create budgets for smaller crew sizes, and that the money needs to be properly allocated for quarantine productions, meaning in the future, that's the way we're going to have to work. Smaller crews, and everyone is going to have to be quarantined for the whole length of the production cycle. So instead of just producing a movie for 30 days and people going back and forth to the hotel, a production office is going to have to rent that entire, you know, hotel floor room, and everyone's going to have to stay there while the production goes on. So that's going to mean it's going to be quarantine production. And that's it. That's the only way we're going to be able to shoot in the days with COVID-19. And I'm already making plans and actions and finding out how much it costs for the gloves and pilots, so that when we can start shooting, I'm already going to have the skills and the knowledge and the data that everyone's going to need to get started.
Smart and crazy how things can get so turned upside down in such a short amount of time.
Even though COVID-19 has stopped production, Hollywood is desperate for new content. Mm-hmm. And before COVID-19 start, we started the beginning of something called Black Renaissance. That means the production, the need, the want of great Black product, television or movies and films, especially here in Atlanta. I mean, it was booming. Everybody was looking for content. And that's still, content is needed because we all binge through Netflix already. So we're going to need to refill those shelves with better and more content. And showcasing a new look on different women, Black women, superheroes, and
yes,
that is so important. That's one of the areas I want to actually be one of the beginning persons in doing. It's so important that showcase all young girls that they can be a superhero too, not just our white male counterparts, but Black women can be our superheroes. I mean, I have scripts and premises already ready to get started with that.
Fantastic. And I can't wait. And I know that audiences are ready for more of this type of content, because it's been proven time and time again that there are so many stories that need to be told that will become blockbusters, that will attract the key demographics and all of that stuff. And so I look forward to all of that getting back underway. All of it.
Absolutely. Me too. Absolutely.
So I do have a bonus question, because I can't not ask a filmmaker this question. And that is, what is your dream cast? So if you were going to film a movie tomorrow, who are, let's say, you know, a couple of people that you'd want to see together in a film?
Okay, if my dream cast for me to direct and produce, and that'll be my the Curse of Edgar Allan Poe, yeah. I would love Will Smith,
awesome.
Benjamin Cumberbatch,
to play
the two sides of Poe.
Oof, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. And Whoopi Goldberg as a spiritual guide.
A legend.
And Dandy Newton. Those are my key actors. And I just, you know, people go, Will Smith? Yeah, Will Smith. I think he can play the hell out of a priest.
For sure.
I think he just got perfect timing. And, you know, everybody will probably want Denzel. Yeah, I love Denzel. I love all of them. But this is my dream cast. I love Dandy Newton. I think she's a badass. Totally. She really is.
Yeah, I think for male characters, I would love to see Will Smith, Idris. I say a first name because, well, I've seen him in person.
We know him.
we know him. I've seen him. I've seen him DJ in person. He was standing like 15 feet away from me. So it's Idris and Morgan Freeman. Love to see those guys. Maybe throw in like Leonardo DiCaprio in there for some extra action. I don't know. Of course, Morgan Freeman has to play God somehow. And and then for female actresses, you know, there's so many. Thank goodness, right?
Thank goodness, absolutely.
Female actresses that I'm obsessed with that I feel should be together, but I would love to see Kerry Washington with Helen Mirren and, gosh, I had this whole lineup in my head and now I can't even, I got very excited. Now I can't even remember all of these female characters, but yeah, I would love to see like 8 of these people just in a film together. I have no idea what the film would be, but I just know it would be fantastic.
Helen Mirren is so beautiful.
She's so
Every time I see her, and I'm always thinking, you know how they do the sexiest man alive and make it be this older man with gray hair? Mm-hmm. Why don't they do the women? She would be one of the sexiest women alive. Look, she looks so fit. She's beautiful. She says, I'm sorry.
Viola Davis in there too.
Yes.
Got to throw her in there. Yeah, you got to throw her into the mix. There's so many. There are just so many. And that's wonderful to say because it's I feel like there's finally more variety of women of different ages, different backgrounds, and that makes me very, very happy.
And you know, just to go back to the previous question you had said about the giving people or the younger people or even older ladies who want to come into entertainment. Right now, this is the first time ever that we have so many different platforms out there that you could write for. You necessarily don't have to be on television. There's so many streaming platforms looking for content. And it doesn't have to be number one. It could be number one on that channel. It doesn't have to be number one across the board, but it just had to be, it has to be good. And I always say, don't limit yourself for what you see now. Always think about what you can see later or what you can improve upon. I saw coming that everything was going to go to the telephone. I don't even think streaming on the laptops and computers at home is going to be it. It's going to be on the phone. The phone is going to be the biggest media for showcasing films in the future.
You're certainly right about that.
So, you know, don't limit yourself to what you see today. Always plan what's for tomorrow. And that's what I'm living my life up.
Right on. I love that. Bev, thank you so much again. This is such a pleasure. You're so inspiring. You're amazing. I know that you're gonna, I feel, you know, like you're just getting started. I think you're just scratching, there's a huge iceberg and you're just at the very top and you're gonna achieve so many great things. And I just want to be along for the ride because I know that you're going to do, you're already doing big things. So I know that that's why there's more of that on the horizon for you.
And every day is a new day. And
yes,
every
it
day
is.
Is a new beginning. So whatever you did yesterday is just the past and just keep looking forward to what you can do in the future. And that's all I can. And that's the only way I can live by. I can't change the past, but I can change the future.
Exactly. Do you want to share where people can find you? Instagram? I'll link it to the website, but if you want to.
Yeah. Believe me, my Twitter is Big Bouncing Bev. It's my Twitter.
Love it.
And my Facebook is Bev Harris Alvarez.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to link those on the website. Thank you again so much.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you. To all the listeners, thank you again so much for tuning in this week. I hope you'll check us out next time. Please take care of yourself. And until then, bye-bye.